need to.
Somebody said somebody had a joke to tell, and I have one to tell too. I was down in California for a week ago looking at machine tools, and I went to this one machinery dealer, and this is a joke he told me. Says the Pope called a big, what would you call it, a meeting of all the cardinals around the world, called them all to Rome, very important business. And so at the time of the meeting, the Pope said, Cardinals, he says, I have great news for you. He says, I also have some bad news. And, fine, what's the great news? And he says, Jesus is coming. And he's coming on January 16th, 1965. And the cardinals all applauded and said, well, that's really great. Bravo. And he says, well, now, what's the bad news? And the Pope held off for a minute, and then he said, well, he's coming to Salt Lake City.
1965,
huh? Doug doesn't do that.
Well, of course, he told me that because when I walked in, you know, he wanted to know where I was from, and I said, well, I'm from Provo, Utah. So he immediately remembered this joke, you know, tell the Mormons to make them feel good.
I remind me of Craig
Johnson's joke.
It's valuable and interesting to get out of your home territory for a while sometimes. I learned a lot of good things and got new perspective by going down there. Got a good Christmas present too. I showed you my HP-45 about a year and a half ago when I first got it. Well, Tracy Jr. and his friend, who work in the Hewlett-Packard laboratory down in Palo Alto, California, changed my calculator into a very accurate clock. So let me show you my new clock. It's not only a calculator, but it's a clock. It has a clock mode, which I get into by pushing two buttons, the recall and the enter. And it's all those things flash out there. Well, now, this is a very accurate stopwatch, about 1 second in a month. As good as any $500 electronic stopwatch there is. So now I push the change sign button, and my stopwatch starts to run. And it's reading, well, if I let it run long enough, this is hours, minutes, seconds, and hundredths of seconds. And the hundredths of seconds are going by.
Just go out and do the 100-yard.
The hundredths of seconds are going by so fast that you can't hardly see them go by. You see the seconds totaling up, and then the hundredths. Now I got to show you something else. This is better than any stopwatch.
Hold it still now.
Now we got to have some Explore Olympic Games. When we come up again,
we
got this new clock I got to use.
It's going,
cool,
boy.
God. We're having the hurdles or something, you see, and John comes across them. So I push one.
100-yard hurdles.
It's still going, too.
Yeah, I keep going, but it recorded when he came in. And now if David comes in at second, I push number two.
That would be 3 minutes later.
That's a miracle.
Who comes in next? Willie over there, and then maybe Nibley, and then we get a whole bunch of
then other guys. Doug comes in last.
Okay, who's the last guy coming in?
But Doug's
the
last guy. Dale can't make it on the hurdles.
Doug and John together.
John's coming back again.
On the 10th guy in, my stopwatch stopped. So that was his time.
1 minute, 21 seconds, and 93 seconds.
Yeah, okay, but now I get the time. All the other guys, all I need to do is push the buttons all over again. I push one.
That was the first time?
And yeah, and the first time comes back. This thing remembers. And I push two, and the second guy's time is in.
Pretty good. What was my
time? I didn't even have to write them down with a pencil. All on the machines. I push three, and you notice it's flip again. To the next guy.
I see.
I push the fourth guy.
Us, by the way.
Oh my dear.
And the fifth guy.
Don't believe it, Ray.
The sixth guy in.
It's of the devil.
And seventh, eighth, ninth. Clear up to the tenth guy in, which I
Then you push a button, adds them all together, right?
If you wanted to do that.
How much did that cost?
$25 worth of components and half a day of Tracy's time.
Half a day, yeah.
Hey, if we send anyone those, we can do that.
But, now, look, Sarah's time on a scientific experiment, which is what I would be doing before you guys get around to running the races. Now that, you see, if I had it all in there, if I let it run long enough, it'd be hours, minutes, seconds, and hundreds of seconds. Now that's not too useful, you know, that's a difficult kind of measure to work with. This machine will change that to decimal hours. So what I do...
You mean tens?
Yeah, in decimal.
Or 1.4.
Yeah. So I push that to put it back in calculator mode. It's not a clock anymore, it's now a calculator again. And then there are a couple of buttons I push like that, and you'll see the numbers change. And that is now automatically in decimals. It would read hour, it's in hours. It's 0.022758 hours. Now, if I want it in seconds, that's simple. I just multiply by 3600 times. And it's 81.930000 seconds. Now, if that was a stopwatch. I showed it to you as a stopwatch. Now, I can run it as a clock also. Now, let's see. We'll set the time on my clock.
It's a calculator.
It's 850. So I punch in the 8, and then I punch the decimal, and then 50 minutes. And now I'm going to catch it when it's 30 seconds. So I put in the 30 seconds, and I start my clock when my chronometer reaches it. Okay, there we go. Oops, something went wrong.
It
was the operator, not the clock. Sorry, let's try that again. All right, it's going to be
8.51. I need to spend another half a day with you.
And it's going to be straight up seconds. So I forgot to put in the clock mode. So there it is in the clock mode. Now, when the second hand gets there, I start my clock.
T-minus 6 seconds. And
go on. Okay. Now there's my clock. See?
Pass out.
Does it come as a TV?
Next year. Can you use this as a calculator?
What's that? You can't use it as a clock and a calculator at the same time. But you can be in either the clock or the
calculator. Oh, Nephi's got one.
You switch over. To go from clock mode to calculator mode, you push the decimal point. To go from calculator mode to clock mode, you have to push the 2.5. The call button and the enter button.
Pretty soon all you'll be able to do is send that to school and do your mom
There are only about 3 or 4 calculators in the world that are also clocks. That's one.
You broke up with Kevin?
Well,
yeah, you know,
Tracy Jr. claims it's a Hewlett-Packard secret. They were thinking of doing this to their calculator, but they'd have to sell it for $50 more, and it was already pretty expensive. $400
for the money.
Huh? Yeah, that's a 45.
What's yours?
Let me show you something else. If your eyes are getting blurry from the hundreds of a second going by, you don't have to see them. Push this button and they go out.
Oh, we want to see them though, so they're back on.
Oh, I have to push the same button and they'll come back on.
Let's sit down here, Rick.
Get it down to the back.
Now, Brother Hall, I trust you'll be able to tie this in with our lesson today.
Very timing.
I'm going to have a hard time doing that today.
Punctuality.
Hey, why don't we go down one night for my aim? I'll make us a big bunch of handful of diamonds. That'd be a good money making project.
We've already done that, David.
Oh, you already
did
that?
Yeah,
that was the way he said it, so dumb. You wouldn't
come. Let's go make some.
We'll have to schedule another time for the guys who didn't get to do it. The teacher's going to make that.
Yeah, that's some parts to that.
Yeah.
Well, well, I mean, this makes sense. Trace, does it scratch your back before you get in bed every night?
Well, I think that's one of the new features.
Next year.
10 hours worth of products is all
right. But you know, it's absolutely amazing what they do.
Now.
I've never seen the inside of one of these calculators until they took it apart. I was always afraid to take it apart. But you don't see many wires running around. You know, you look at least an old-fashioned radio set or electronic gear, and I was I was a radar officer aboard ship in the Navy in World War II, and you'd see tens of thousands of wires running everywhere, you know, to take the signals around. This thing, all you see is maybe a total of, I'd say, about 25 connectors in there. Well, the reason they can use so few connectors, we used to send one signal over a wire. Well, you know, in telephones, they'll send 1,000 calls over a wire. This does the same thing, but you have to time that. See, you send a signal along the wire, and it says routed a certain way. And then you can follow that with another signal along the same wire. Well, this particular calculator is multiplex. They call that multiplexing. And it sends signals all over those wires and already has a clock in it. It never just had it display the information. And the clock that is in it is not a really accurate clock. It doesn't have to be that accurate for the calculator's purpose. So what Tracy Ginyard did was to replace a resistor in here, in an RC circuit for you electronic wizards, with an accurate resistor, and replace a capacitor that's in the timing circuit with a quartz crystal, which has gold plates on the end of it, the correct size for the capacitor. So in that circuit then, it's now timed to about a second a month. And then there was a mechanical change you had to make in the calculator, like the enter button, for those of you who have calculators, usually a bar too wide. Well, there are contactors running all down here. It currently, originally it was contacting on this side, Tracy changed it to contact on that side. So, it was nice to visit the HP lab and see all that goes on. Electronic wizards down in that area of California is really something. Well, there are a lot of things I'd like to say about California. One thing still sticks in my mind. Along Foothill Boulevard, Liz and Marty and Tracy and Betsy live about 50 miles south of San Francisco. And you go along Foothill Boulevard between their two houses. And a great big sign, Christmas lights on a guy's house, and a great big sign saying, "Happy Birthday, Jesus." Well, you know, that's so funny, you know. Great big sign, tremendous sign. And I thought, you know, your first reaction, oh, this guy's a little bit kooky. But, you know, when I thought about that, maybe that's not such a bad idea, you know. If you think about it in the
right
way.
He wasn't born in December.
Yeah,
he wasn't. Well, I know, we all know
April.
That.
April.
We will remember this on that day. Well, we wanted to get back to how we live the word of wisdom in a world that doesn't live it. A man, my mind was certainly refocused on this subject again. He asked Tracy Jr., how do you get to his house? And Liz and Marty said, well, you get on El Camino and you go about so far. And when you see a liquor store on that side of the street and also across the street, then you know you go down there. Well, reminds me of Schenectady in New York. Same deal. The first time I went into town, I said, well, how do you get to your place? Well, you go down there about so many miles, and then you see the so-and-so bar on this corner, and then you see the so-and-so bar on that corner. Well, turn on that bar on that corner.
You ever have a
so that's the way directions are given in this country nowadays. What the name of the bar, the liquor store on the corner, you go to that.
Hey,
and then you turn, and that's that way all over California.
You know a Russian spy used to work for the General Electric Company?
I wouldn't be surprised.
He'll verify it, isn't it right?
You'd be surprised what kind of people that General Electric Company is. They'll do anything for cheap labor.
Nothing personally disconnected. Is that where they got kinetic energy? Was from Schenectady, New York.
Might have done. I met with a school friend of mine whose name is George Hill.
Oh, Doug, I saw your grandma yesterday.
And he's moved up into an important position. He's the director of research for Electric Power Research Institute, which is in Palo Alto, California. Does research for all the utility companies in the United States. He has a budget of $100 million a year. That's about 100 people working for him. He funds research projects all over the United States. Well, here is a Latter-day Saint young man who has worked his way up. I met with another friend of mine many years ago. His name is Frank Davis. And he's a big wheel, so to speak, in a Finnegan Instrument Company. And all over Hewlett-Packard Company, you see Latter-day Saints, just loaded with Latter-day Saints. In fact, I walk in the main entrance of Hewlett-Packard Company, and they had a whole bunch of bigger-than-life pictures of guys doing things around the wall. And I look right off there, and it's my son-in-law, Marty Neal, big as life, right there in the... in the corporate headquarters, right in the foyer. He's in a different place than Tracy Jr. He's in a counting area where they count and time short events. You know that light travels 186,000 miles every second.
Feet per second.
Miles. 186,000 miles every second. Now, the division Marty works for in Hewlett-Packard, if you suddenly turn a light on like that, he has a counter. That light gets 1 1/2 inches away. It can measure that.
Oh.
There are lots of Latter-day Saint boys down in California doing great things. And they have had the problem of living in a world where liquor is the everyday thing, and they've solved the problem and managed to survive. Now, they test you. My son-in-law Marty, when he first went down there looking for a job, they take him to dinner. Take his wife, too, on some occasions. Usually they bring you and your wife when you interview for a job. If Westinghouse decides they want to hire you, you're a young engineer, say, are going into sales or business or something, and they've pretty well decided they want you because they've had you back for an interview. They will usually call you back for a second interview to bring your wife. Maybe not usually, but often they do this. They want to look your wife over too. Well, when they're looking Marty over, they have their cocktails and whatnot, just like as per usual. And you know, they ask what Marty wants. Well, I'll have a 7-Up, he said. He didn't make any apologies or to do about it, you know. And when they were all through with it, they told him they were testing him out to see how he'd handle a situation where liquor was involved, because they knew he was a Mormon, they hired lots of Mormons. They just wanted to see if he was adept enough to not create a scene or make somebody feel bad because they were drinking and yet not drink himself. And that happens all the time. We have to be prepared to handle these kind of situations. Now, I haven't handled them all very good in my own life. I know. What do you say? Well, let's take some examples out of this book. They fit right in with the kind of thing we're dealing with. Let me read a few. A young man in John's department was getting married, and John had been invited to the wedding.
Good, John.
Was a family custom to serve out alcoholic refreshments. In fact, it was such a deep-rooted custom that it was considered very bad taste not to drink to the health and well-being of the newly married couple. John was going on shift at 11 in the control tower at the airport, where it was his job to assist the airliners to land by use of radar. Not only would it be unsafe to be on the job under the influence of drink, but the penalty for this was instant dismissal. John did not want to hurt the feelings of the young married couple, but he also did not want to cause an accident or lose his job. Even more important, he did not want to be untrue to his convictions and training by breaking the word of wisdom. what course of action should John follow? Okay, what do you
do? Just say this job we're left to.
Just take the groom aside and dive in. Any other party.
Well, I'm sick.
Okay. One safe job won't let him.
We needed the airplane for this year.
Okay, what other kinds of ways?
You could say you had an ulcer.
O'Shea had ulcer.
That's a good
excuse. Just explain the situation.
What's the difference?
Before the party or something like that, just the next room.
Explain before. Okay, Brother Nibley, just pretend you're the guy. Now, tell me exactly what you're going to say.
Well, I'm just telling that because of my conviction, because of my convictions, I just better not drink.
Drink
okay.
Water.
Now, is this a toast to the...
talking about when they say drink.
Is this a toast to the bride and groom?
I think that in many weddings they'll have that, but also see all the punch bowls all over the place are filled with alcohol.
I'd just say don't.
Really? Any of the rest of you have any ideas? Well, let me think. The book gives three reactions that you might take. It doesn't say that any one of them is correct. One, remind the group that he would be going on shift work in 30 minutes. Tell him that to take a drink just before going to work would be unsafe and against the company rules. Okay, somebody said that one. Two, make a simple statement that he means no disrespect to the couple, but he would not take a drink in anyone's home because he does not believe in drinking.
Three, don't go away.
You don't believe in drinking.
That's explained before. I don't think you have to make any apologies.
Number four, stay home.
Yeah, I don't either. I just say.
And the third one says... seek a substitute non-alcoholic drink and fulfill the family custom of saluting the newly married couple Coke. With a toast.
Bring her old Coke.
There's a
cup of Coke. Eggnog.
Non-alcoholic drink.
Yes, sure.
Tea, coffee, something to that
Well, probably all of those could be used if the proper tact. Boy, it takes great tact. Sometimes you can't always win out. You have to lose some. I remember Earl J. Glade. Somehow he was in the ward when I was a student. He was in Utah, I think, and he was tied up with KSL and other promotional and chamber of commerce activities around Salt Lake. Was always involved with the drinking problem of other people and what he should do. And he used to say he'd always just drink tomato juice. But the reason he would choose tomato juice was because, you know, it was definitely a different color. 7-Up might be mistaken for alcohol, so he used tomato juice. But nowadays, as you mentioned, there's a drink that uses tomato juice. I don't believe there was 40 years ago.
Margarita.
So even that may not say that you're not drinking an alcoholic beverage.
Orange juice.
Do you use orange juice too?
Yeah, Harvey Wallbanger's
got milk in it. Names everything.
Milk. Get your Harvey
Wallbanger.
What about milk?
Milk, you
put vodka in.
Scotch.
It's supposed to be calming for the stomach.
Water.
I guess you don't
scotch milk.
Scotch milk.
They should not have blown my dad's milk story. You heard his milk story,
obviously. Yeah. Does it have to do with this problem, David? Does that have to do with this problem? With
well, if the thing was go around having scotch and milk, you know. You haven't heard my dad's story. I've
really told my grandma.
Well, your dad's story.
Everybody had a shot.
From your own lives, do you have some experiences you could relate as to how you might have handled one of these situations?
I just saved my job.
say it was your job.
The three-year job, cultivating.
Blame it on your wife. Save your wife from spreading it on.
I'm on the band. Why?
Then they go, what, are you a band or a mouse?
See, I've been catching down on the couch.
Hey, it's my wife.
Rob, can we get
it's my day off.
Well, it's a hard problem, and you have to learn to cope with it with time in the best way. I know I used to say, see, here you are in a new job. Jobs are hard to get. You got a good job. You want to make good. You're in competition. And you just can't believe the pressure that hits you at the moment. And I don't think I was too well prepared beforehand. I never succumbed, but I think my excuses were bad. I stammer and say, well, it's against my religion, or something like that.
But what if you didn't have a job doing that?
Bless you.
I think most places nowadays, with very few exceptions, they're aware of LDS standards.
You can just say.
I know when I went back to Indiana to defend my dissertation, After the defense, they get together and they have a big party. They invite all the graduate students and the faculty. And they go to one of the teachers' houses and have a party. And they were well aware of where I stood. And in fact, when I got to the party, I was greeted, you know, you're greeted and come on in and they take in where the refreshments are being served, and the comment was, now we have 7-Up, you know, they named two or three different kinds of soft drinks that they had specifically provided without my saying a word. They just provided them, and they let me know that they were there and available and knew that that's what I would be interested in.
Well, also, if your friends know you're going to live up to your standards, they're going to be your best protectors against drinking. They won't let you do it.
I think that's right. A Jack Mormon would be harder on you than a...
That's right.
Than a man out in the world.
That's
Lazarus.
Where your problem is. Yeah.
That's true.
Drink
that. Treat another situation.
You can always say that you're an alcoholic and would drink since you're back there.
What are you, I'm a Mormon, but I was an alcoholic.
Okay, this example is about making progress on a job.
Yeah, I've got an example that there's a real one.
Let's have a real one. Yeah, these are supposed to be real with phony names, well, but let's have a real genuine one.
My brother recently was faced with this issue. He was in a job, I hate to mention it, was with General Electric. But it wasn't as connected.
So great.
He had a job where he had what do they call it, an account?
Expense account?
An expense account. And he had to post people from time to time, and he had to do traveling. And in his department, he was ultimately forced to change jobs, and he's no longer with General Electric for this reason. But in his department, he did not submit in his expense account a high enough monthly expense because he didn't drink and party like the rest of the guys.
And so it made them look bad.
And it made them look bad, and he was simply confronted by the departmental head with the problem of what he was doing to the rest of the guys and what was he going to do about it.
I take and put all the money in a Swiss bank account.
Ah, but that's illegal. Not only illegal, but it's lying, and there's not.
Well, and just if, go out and party.
Couldn't look, he go out to shows and stuff like that?
You guys spend so much money.
Yeah, that was the issue. That was the issue. Everybody else was submitting a higher expense, and because he wasn't, they were upset about it. He was making them look bad.
Can you buy other stuff? Well, he could party too if he wanted.
Sure, he could party too. He could lie about it too.
And well, do you think it's lying if he parties too, just like the rest of the guys?
No, but partying is. That's the very point. He wasn't inclined to party like they were.
Well, can you go to movies like Rick said or something?
You can't spend much money going to movies if you win all day.
Well, so I'm asking.
You can go to Kevin Chop House.
You can go to a different movie every 2 hours for the price of a drink in some places. That's not the solution.
Get hooked on marijuana? I don't know.
There's another solution. Check that out, too.
Go buy a car or
something. Now, that's a real one.
The expense account is one thing that is probably responsible for the great amount of drinking that goes on. In theory, when I was at General Electric 25 years ago, you weren't supposed to buy drinks on your expense account, but they do it. The boss, I remember one situation where all of us were at a meeting in Chicago, and the boss was there, and he would have the habit of getting everybody together with him at one dinner. And then he'd get kind of drunk, and then he'd start acting up, and he almost at every meeting would do this. He'd start buying drinks for everybody in the place, and showing off and making a spectacle out of himself. Then we'd get all through, there'd be a dozen of us, and he'd say, okay, the bill might be a whole $150 or something. Okay, we split it up 13 ways, he'd say, and which would mean we'd have to forge our expense account to get that amount of money on it, but then he's the guy who approved the expense account, see? So there are a lot of shenanigans like this in industry, I'm sorry to report.
But well, I think the guys don't know about it. They're going to be faced with these issues, guys. These are not make-believe.
There's really nothing you could do on this deal here. I mean, the boss tells you, you know, make your expense account out for so much, and then he approves it, but he's acting like a big fella, you know, buying drinks on the whole house. And of course he couldn't sneak it in on his expense account, it'd be too big a number, so he spreads it among these 12 chemists that are there with him. So there are all kinds of things like that. Well, there's another one now. This guy's name is Ralph Pollard, and he had a problem. He could see that certain men in his company played politics and seemed to be selected for promotions on that account. Now, that's true of most any company. That's a real situation. Ralph was anxious to progress in the company and get a raise in salary. Should he lower his standards and get in good with the boss, who was a heavy drinker and a chain smoker? Well, boy, I've been in that situation, I can tell you, and that situation is true of most large companies. You'll find yourself that way. You got to do what the boss does if you're going to go up the ladder. If he plays golf at the Edison Club and drinks at the Edison Club, then you get yourself a membership of the Edison Club and play golf with the boss and drink at the Edison Club. And I watched him do it, and I watched him. As a matter of fact, let me tell you about a young fellow who came, Ed Brady, a Jewish guy, and me, a Mormon, shared the same lab with General Electric Company. Now, usually you had two guys share the same lab, and they each had a little office in this lab. Well, they were short on room while they were building some more labs. A new guy came, and they put him in the lab with Brady and I. He's a Catholic. We used to have a time, I tell you, Catholic, Jew, and Mormon. I learned a lot of things. But the boss brought this guy in, introduced us, and then the boss left. And the first words this guy said to Ed Brady and I was the following. He says, "Something I want you guys to know and get straight right now." He says, "I'm going just as far as I can go in this company, and I don't give a damn whose neck I got to step on to do it." And that's how he greeted us. Where is that guy? He's up there. I mean, he got there. There's some people like that. They're just ruthless. They decide where they're going, and they don't care what they got to do or whose neck they got to step on to get there. And he made it. He did it.
Yeah, I think it's foolish to suppose, guys, that by living the standards of the church, you're going to necessarily prosper and in business and get to the head of the company.
Unless you're with Howard
Hughes. Get to the head of the class.
Well, there are some exceptions, but I think that here's a case in point.
Well, what would you do? Here's this guy, he saw these kind of things going on. What are you going to do? Well, let me read the suggestions that are listed here, none of which may be the right ones. Some, maybe all of them are good. Okay, here's what they suggest in the book. Read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I never read it. I've heard a lot about it, but I never read it. But maybe there are a lot of helpful ideas in that book. I know that Mormon missionaries have read that book, and a lot of people have read that and claim it's been a big help. So if you are faced with this kind of situation, read that book.
Wait a minute. Let me read that book first, and then I'll give you the answer.
Okay. Find some other ways to please the boss rather than adopt his bad habits. Well, maybe there are some ways, you know, that you could please the boss without joining his club and going to drink with him.
Be your own boss.
You could certainly do your job well. That would please any boss. Well, let's see. Not only would such a change be too obvious, but he would probably see through it and lose respect for all. Oh, I'm out of context. Yeah, here's the problem. If you are a Latter-day Saint and they know what your standards are, now you may figure dropping those standards, you know, would gain favor with the boss. But there's a risk because many times, you know, if he knows your standards and you don't live them, you come across to his side, he may hold that against you. You say, well, what a wishy-washy guy.
Hypocrite. Wouldn't that have happened with Marty?
Yeah, I'm sure it would have.
If he'd have drunk when he was taken out to dinner, didn't they tell him that they were testing him?
Yeah, afterwards they told him they were testing him. Yeah, they didn't want him to break his standards, but they wanted to see if he had tact. You know, you could, if you handle the situation badly, you guys shouldn't be drinking, you know. And you can do that if you're very tactful, but you got to know them and you got to joke, and it's tough. You just have to learn those skills with time. And as Latter-day Saints, it's important that we develop those kind of things. Well, let's see. Try to attract favorable attention through extra hard work and by showing interest in your job. We sort of mentioned that one. Perform tasks over and above the line of duty to show you are interested in your job and the welfare of the company.
Wouldn't that tend to make them think they can take advantage of you then?
Sometimes.
Yeah, it could. You may take a risk.
You know, I'll have him do it. Have Tracy do it. You know, he'll do anything, you know.
They would. You'll go through life getting taken advantage of, though. You have to learn to take these bruises and learn how to duck them and let them roll off. Just part of what you have to do in growing up. Offer practical suggestions for improvements which will cut expenses and or increase income. All of these are similar. Become a more viable employee. Demonstrate that you can handle what you are presently doing in the best possible manner. Learn the job just ahead. Train others to be able to fill your position when you move up. I've never thought of that. That'd be real sneaky, wouldn't it?
Yeah. What? What was that?
If you want to move up the ladder, learn the job ahead of you.
Train somebody to take.
Train somebody behind you to move in and take your position. Then you're all ready.
Yeah, then you get fired, and the guy you train gets your job.
Well, I suppose not too much of a risk. But learn qualify for the job ahead. That'd be smart thinking. Well, let's see. Being active in and loyal to the church is almost always beneficial to promotional possibilities. Apart from the training and growth which church service gives, the business leaders not of our faith will generally admire anyone who maintains high standards. They don't always, but they most always do. I have a friend who works for Kodak. His name is Bryant Rossiter. He started just as an ordinary chemist. He now heads the department and has 150 chemists under him. Now, a company like Eastman is just loaded with chemists because color film and developing and all that stuff is just plain old chemistry in and out. Very difficult organic chemistry. Now, he was the bishop there in the Rochester area, and he went to his boss and told him, you know, I have this big added responsibility. It'll take a lot of time. I don't want it to interfere with my work. I want to do my job properly. But I just want you to know what the responsibilities of a bishop are. They said, okay, that's fine. Go ahead. And if you need to, he told them, you know, maybe need to attend a funeral daytime, whatnot, and he'd like to make up the time. And the, yeah, okay, that's fine. Then he gave him an opportunity to explain some of what the church is about, you know, its philosophy, the social benefits, and things like that, how you can grow in leadership. Later on, he was the stake president. He went back to him again, told him the same thing, but more responsibility than ever now. They knew him well enough now. They said, well, we're sure you're going to need some help. You use your secretary for any church business you want.
Wow. And that's going the extra mile.
Now, see?
He'd earned it.
So here's his secretary. Dresses up to here, cigarette in her mouth, on the telephone for the stake president. Bishop so-and-so calling for President Rossiter. We'd like you to know there's going to be a welfare
stipend. Why can't you be there?
Well, now Bryant Rossiter is
he's
a regional representative. He has still more responsibility in the company. He's still the director of the whole chemistry shebang.
Did they let him make her one of his counselors too?
Now one of his five wives.
And he's on a board in the company now, in addition to having that responsibility. But they recognize he still has more responsibility. They let him come out to conference. In fact, they pay for it. They tell him to do a little recruiting. He comes down to BYU, goes to University of Utah, up to USAC, and they pay for him to come out to conference, charge it all office of business expense. Their request. So you do it that way. And so it can work. Can work. Now, it won't always work, and if it's not working, probably the smart thing to do is to get out of there, just like your brother did. Get into another situation.
I bet Dangerfield did never make that mistake.
Well,
John, take that.
Brethren, I want to give you two references to end our Word of Wisdom discussion, section 89. But when you read section 89, you also should read section 27, 1 to 14. Now, let me impose on you enough here that everybody turn to section 89. And I want to take 5 minutes to read it. Now, listen carefully. I want to read the preface to it also. Revelation given through Joseph Smith the prophet at Kirtland, Ohio, February 27th, 1833, known as the Word of Wisdom. 1833 is 33 from 74, 141 years ago. 141 years ago. Abstinence from wine, strong drink, tobacco, and hot drinks enjoined. Moderation in the eating of meat. Wholesome foods. Promises to those who live according to these precepts. A word of wisdom for the benefit of the council of high priests assembled in Kirtland and the church and also the saints in Zion. To be sent greeting, not by commandment or constraint, but by revelation and the word of wisdom, showing forth the order and will of God in the temporal salvation of all saints in the last days. Given for a principle with promise, adapted to the capacity of the weak and the weakest of all saints who are or can be called saints. Behold, verily thus saith the Lord unto you. In consequence of evils and designs which do and will exist in the hearts of conspiring men in the last days, I have warned you and forewarned you by giving unto you this word of wisdom by revelation, that inasmuch as any man drinketh wine or strong drink among you, behold, it is not good, neither meat in the sight of your Father, only in assembling yourselves together to offer up your sacraments before him. Now, it's in that connection that you should go read 27, where it explains that water should be used instead of wine. If you just read this alone, you might get the idea that it's okay to this day to still use wine in the sacramental service. And behold, this should be wine, yea, pure wine of the grape of the vine of your own make. And again, strong drinks are not for the belly, but for the washing of your bodies. And again, tobacco is not for the body, neither for the belly, and is not good for man, but is an herb for bruises and all sick cattle, to be used with judgment and skill. And again, hot drinks are not for the body or belly, and that has been interpreted for us by Latter-day prophets as meaning specifically tea and coffee and like things.
Watch out.
And again, verily I say unto you, all...